Today is our second session on the NUMA Global Network Leaders Community, and we're going to be continuing on the subject of the apostolic. A little bit of a different focus today. We're going to be looking at the role of the apostolic in advancing the kingdom of God. And really, that's what it's all about. Jesus said in Matthew 24:14, when the disciples had asked him, "What is the sign of your coming and at the end of the age?" And he said, "When the gospel of the kingdom is preached throughout the whole world to all the nations," he said, "then the end will come." So it's very important that we focus on the main thing, which is really advancing the kingdom of God. And of course, at NUMA Church, globally, our vision is to plant 200 churches, you know, across the global hubs, the four global hubs that carry a spirit of revival to disciple cities and nations. But our mission really is all about advancing God's kingdom, which is so biblical, so scriptural. And when we focus on anything less than that, then I believe we can kind of get off in the wrong direction, and it will hinder us so that we're really not able to see the fullness of what the Lord wants to do in his church. As Jesus said, that he gives us power, the power of the Holy Spirit, to actually proclaim the gospel, right? And Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And so we're going to be talking about that today. And we have the one and only Pastor Raph Solomon with us again. And Pastor Raph is the apostolic pillar at NUMA Church and the global capacity on the executive leadership team, which he serves in that space just with excellence and with amazing passion, vision, and skill, I would say. And he has given himself to the Lord first and foremost, but particularly to understand his kingdom and to really see the facilitation of what the Lord wants to do to advance his kingdom in the fivefold and the apostolic in particular. So, Pastor Raph, it's so good to have you back with us today.
And Thank you so much, Pastor Glenn. Honor to be back. And I don't know who commented on the Sunshine Coast, but I was there just a couple of weeks ago, heavily, heavily tanned, more than usual. It is God's backyard, I think. It's a beautiful place.
It really is. Yes. And yeah, it's great. And looking forward to actually visiting there in March for some holidays ourselves, some vacation time. But awesome. Pastor Raph, last time on the session, we were talking about the apostolic more as the role of the local church. Today, as I mentioned, we're moving into the role of the apostolic in advancing God's kingdom. Right. Got several questions for you, and just for those who are on the Zoom meeting, at the end we will have a time of Q&A where you can ask specific questions. But the first question is, what role do apostolic leaders play in equipping and empowering the local church to fulfill its mission and purpose?
Thanks, Pastor Glenn. And great conversation opener, and really the focal point of the apostolic grace, office, and anointing. I might just quickly zoom out to the fivefold in general and then just really kind of begin to unpack some of the things around the apostolic. Obviously, the fivefold, every office, every grace in the fivefold is an aspect of the ministry of Jesus Christ. And Jesus is actually underrepresented or misrepresented if we have an absence in any of the fivefold graces in the church. And that's the capital C, so the Church of Jesus across the earth, but certainly even the local church. So it's in that context, I guess it's important to mention, okay, what is the role of the apostolic grace in the global church as well as the local church, in equipping the saints for the work of ministry, which is the role mentioned to us in Ephesians chapter 4, 11 forward. So let's go back to the question, Pastor Glenn, of apostolic leadership in equipping and empowering the local church. Now, the truth is, we can spend the rest of our time on this one. And there's so much to discuss, so there's no way we're going to be comprehensive. So I might just touch on, you know, two or three things that may be of prime importance when it comes to this. Now, right at the center of the apostolic office and the apostolic grace is the bringing of kingdom order. I know that last time we kind of like met together, we spoke about, you know, what is the apostolic anyway? And the definition, as we know, comes kind of like, you know, from something really from the Roman Empire, not a religious word, where apostolos, or where there was a general sent on behalf of the Roman Empire to lead an armada of ships for the colonization of new land, to bring new land under the culture and subjection to Roman Empire, so that that land could belong to Rome, so that that land could resemble Rome in its culture, become just like Rome. And the word apostle actually comes from that. The person, the delegate who will lead the charge for the colonization, the kingdom of heaven, to come to earth, leading the charge in that space. So obviously, when we talk about leading vision, leading mission in the local church, it's front and center of the apostolic office and as well as the apostolic grace. The local church can become insular if it doesn't have the apostolic grace running through it. But what happens with an apostle or the apostolic grace is that there's a broader kingdom perspective that is imparted to the entire church. The pattern of heaven, what heaven is saying about the community around us, what heaven is saying about different cities, what heaven is saying about the kingdom of God as entrusted to us to bring it to earth. So apostolic leaders receive that kind of heavenly vision. They seed that heavenly vision. That heavenly vision becomes really quite contagious. We see that in scripture over and over. All of a sudden, Paul has a vision of something, but the terminology goes from Paul seeing it to, you know, Luke saying that the entire team around Paul, we concluded that the Lord was sending us. It was a collective thing, not a personal thing. So they mobilize people because of the heavenly vision. That's certainly one of the things that the apostolic office does in the local church. The other thing that can't be replaced, just simply because it's a grace, it's an anointing, we find it in the book of Micah, chapter 2 and verse 13. Now, speaking of the Lord himself, the Lord talks about the breaker anointing or a breakthrough anointing that happens through the power and the presence of the Lord himself, the Holy Spirit. The one who breaks open the way will go before them, and then they will break through and enter through the gates. So there's a breaker anointing that's on the Lord himself, but there's a real distinct impartation. I'm not talking about a monopoly of the apostolic office on the breaker anointing, but it is one of the distinctives given to that office, given to that grace to have a breaker anointing. That's why we actually find that in church pattern, a lot of really, really well-meaning shepherds have, because of a godly heart, have wanted to start churches. And there's a real honest struggle with that. Because while they're doing everything they can, particularly the foundational phases, it's an incredible struggle. And to be honest, many of them don't succeed. And that's not because of any fault or lack of godliness or learning or passion. It's literally because of a breaker anointing, the breaker anointing that actually breaks ground, that takes territory in of darkness and opens up the way to establish a community for the gospel where the other officers can operate, where the prophet, evangelist, shepherd, and teacher can begin to form a community of faith. But there's a breaker anointing that is actually required to lead the charge. And again, kind of like in our pattern, I guess, here at Pneuma, when we look for church planters, we are looking for that because we understand what it's going to take for that journey. Another dimension that maybe we should touch on while we're talking about that, of equipping and empowering to fulfill the mission, is that I know that we mentioned last time that apostles out of 1 Corinthians 3 were Paul testifies about himself that he's an architect. He also mentions that he's a spiritual father. If we combine that grace together, we're talking about a father who has spiritual architecture in his DNA. Now, what that looks like is the raising up of sons and daughters that become kingdom ambassadors. And that's very important for the advancement and the fulfilling of the mission and purpose of any local church. When Paul talks about that as a wise master builder, the term architecton or architect, what he's really talking about there is that somebody who's been given by the Lord the capacity to see what the plan needs to be and how people actually fit into that plan, what gifts fit into that plan, what gifts need to come together in order to make the purposes of God fruitful and fulfilled. And again, that's very important for the local church, that there's sons and daughters that are being raised in their gifts, in their God destinies, in their callings. I remember a number of years ago, the Lord saying to me, your destiny is to see the destiny of others fulfilled. And that is a true assignment of every apostolic grace, because the house of the Lord is actually built not through a single grace, but the multiplicity, the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. So it's actually really quite important for the advancement and the fulfillment of the mission that there's apostolic gifting that is able to call out the destinies, the potential, that which is dormant in people, that which needs to be fueled. We see Paul doing that with Timothy and fueling into flame the gift of God that is upon him. That is a real distinctive of the apostolic grace. Again, not a monopoly, but an emphasis of the apostolic grace. I'll probably just want to mention one more thing, and it may seem a little bit off center, but it's actually an important one. The apostolic leaders really do maintain doctrinal integrity and the spiritual health of the church. And that's actually really important, because while apostles are really wholehearted, very passionate about the abiding of truth, I mean, all we have to do is read something like, you know, epistles of John, and we could see the admonition one after the other around pursuing truth being the most important pursuit, abiding and becoming one with the truth. We see Paul talking to Timothy about rightly dividing the word of truth. These are really, really important matters, because the entrustment of scripture, the entrustment to the apostolic ministry of truth is a very, very important entrustment. As a matter of fact, when Jesus has got something to say to the churches, we see two out of the seven churches in the book of Revelations, Pergamos, the compromising church, Thyatira, the corrupted church, that the issues were issues of what they did not do or what they did with the truth of God. They allowed the teaching of Balaam. They allowed the teaching of Jezebel to run rampant through the church. Now, doctrinal integrity is under the guard of apostleship. Now, we may be thinking, okay, what's that actually got to do with the fulfillment of mission and purpose? Well, the truth is everything, because every progress of the kingdom of darkness happens as a result of deception, spirits of deception invading the church, and every advancement of the kingdom of God happens because of truth. That's why the apostles, we see in the original blueprint in the book of Acts chapter 6, will not deviate. We will give ourselves continually to the ministry of the word as well as the ministry of prayer, because truth is going to take the church forward. Otherwise, the church become exactly like what Jesus said of those churches in Revelations. They become corrupted or they become compromising. Neither one of those states makes the church effective. And therefore, the internal health of a church by truth is very important under apostolic leadership. Truth is, we can probably talk a little bit more about that, but that may be enough just for now, so it doesn't become totally monologue at this stage.
No, thank you, Pastor Raph. It actually ties in to the second question, which has to do with the unique qualities and insights that apostolic leaders bring toward the governance and direction of a local church. Maybe you want to just use that as a springboard to take it a little deeper, or even go in a different direction if you feel.
Sure. Okay, just sort of where, let's maybe touch on something else in that space when we talk about the governance and direction of a church and apostolic leadership in that space. Again, I think what I'm about to say, I don't in any shape or form mean it, the uniqueness of it means the monopoly of it. It's not just with apostles. However, it is a distinctive, it is an emphasis when it comes to the apostolic grace, because the apostolic office is highly governmental in scripture. It brings structure, it brings order, it brings definition to the church. And that's very important to capture around the structure, the order, and the definition. We see that repeatedly demonstrated in the book of Acts, because it is a highly governmental role. It carries a legal authority in it. That's why it feels quite weighty, because it does carry that legal authority on behalf of the sending person. So even the original word, so Caesar would send a general, but that general would carry the weight of Caesar in the entire Roman Empire in leading the armada. So we can see that inherent in the offices, the delegation of authority to govern and to set things in order. So when the church is a little bit confused in the book of Acts around matters that pertain to the Mosaic law and circumcision and so forth, it's the community of apostles that get together and correct and set the entire church in order. We see again the apostle Paul talking to an apostle by the name of Titus in Titus 1:5. He tells him quite clearly, for this reason, I left you in Crete, that you may appoint elders in every city and set in order the things that are lacking, to bring definition to the church, structure to the church, order to the church. We see Paul himself teaching in his epistles order of service, order in the church, things to be done decently and in order. It's highly governmental in that space. One of the things that I find just naturally accompanies the Holy Spirit's equipping of the gift of wisdom is often a twin of the apostolic office. That's why we find Peter talking about Paul, for example, in his second epistle, talks about how he wrote according to the wisdom given to him, that the Lord gave him a special wisdom, a special insight in order to order, to bring definition, clarity, purity, forward movement, heavenly pattern to the earthly church. So wisdom, really what we're talking about there is just the knowledge of heaven when it comes to applying it to a particular situation. So again, if we are talking about the governmental nature to bring order, it's really, really inherent to the office of apostleship. When we talk about direction, that's really kind of like multi-fronted. Some of that stuff we've already, I guess, spoken into already, but it's also important to know that the apostolic grace is not just an attractional grace. What I mean by that is that the apostolic grace doesn't just think of how many people can we bring into the church and how many people can we seat. The apostolic grace is thinking a lot about how many people can we send. The apostolic grace is thinking about not only teams that fulfill the Sunday service, that's part of it, but that isn't the mission. But how could we put together teams that invade regions and cities and nations and bring the gospel where the gospel is not yet preached? So there's a real training of various ministries. There's a releasing of harvest teams in whatever way that looks, but they're harvest teams, whether that's church planting or mission teams or whatever that looks like, what the expression looks like, but it is an invasion of the kingdom of darkness under apostolic anointing. And again, we can talk a lot about that, Pastor Glenn, but maybe suffice it there.
Yeah, wow, awesome. So I'm already thinking of what that looks like, and just want to make a quick comment on that. Pastor Raph, as you said, the goal of the apostle, really his mission or his commissioning, and in the context of Rome and being sent forth from Caesar, when they would go in and occupy territory, and then eventually they would bring transformation in that space. What one of the things that is interesting, and I've read this in history, is that when Caesar would visit that land that had been conquered, his goal, what he was looking for, was once he got there, had that city, that nation, he had to feel at home there. In other words, the culture of Rome had been so embedded and infused in that city and nation that he felt at home. Now, take that in the context of his kingdom come, his will be done on earth as it is in heaven, that Jesus, the Father, is looking for us to bring such a transformation to the earth that he literally can make his home here. And, the scripture talks about that, doesn't it? That the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of Christ and God in Revelation 11. So, very, very profound. Thank you, Pastor Raff. Okay, let's talk about the involvement of apostolic leadership in the local church toward fostering a greater sense of cohesiveness and unity among the people of God in regards to kingdom mission among its members. And
Amazing.
I want to just say regarding that, Pastor Raff, is of course, when we talk about apostolic leaders, apostles in the local church, there may not be a set apostle in each local church, depending on where the church is at, what they believe the leaders are, but ultimately the need for apostolic leadership to be present, to contribute, to have some sort of relationship and influence. This is what I'm referring to.
Fantastic. Thanks, Pastor Glenn. And again, just an amazing conversation to really be having. We see the pattern of scripture in Book of Ephesians 4, that the entire fivefold is called to equip the saints to bring the church to unity and maturity. There's a fundamental purpose. And I would even just kind of almost interject myself at this point and say that it's really, really important that when we're thinking fivefold, the fivefold is obviously a means to an end and not an end in itself. It's not about having a fivefold structure. It's what happens through the fivefold that is actually quite critical. And the metrics must be what happens through the fivefold, not just that we have a fivefold team, because that's inadequate. That's the form, but not the reason. When it comes to the apostolic grace and office to build a sense of cohesiveness, there really is two dimensions of that. One of them's at the local level, one of them's at the global level. So at the local level, there's obviously the whole rallying around one heavenly vision. At the local level, we see again in scripture and we see in local churches again and again that there's an impartation of a heavenly vision, there's an impartation of a heavenly cause, has the witness of the Holy Spirit on it. We see that in the book of Acts, chapter 16, Paul receives a revelation regarding Macedonia. Those surrounding, as we mentioned earlier, conclude that they themselves are called. So the apostles rally God's people around a central vision from heaven. That happens at the local level. There's a real sense of unified purpose. And it's funny because when people want to find out their individual destiny, they always find it in the context of the collective destiny that is sovereignly brought about by the Holy Spirit. That's the only way really people can find their individual destiny, in the collective vision of where the Lord has sovereignly placed them. But that's at the local level. There is probably something that I'd love to speak into, which is the more global function of the apostolic grace in bringing that cohesiveness in kingdom purpose, which is really important because I feel like that's especially one of the things that the Holy Spirit is recovering in the worldwide Church of Jesus. So it's probably good to begin to introduce the whole concept and thought around local churches, but global apostles. Local churches and global apostles. And to begin to see the honest pattern of Scripture, even in the book of Romans chapter 1 and verse 5, I'm just going to read it. Paul says, through him we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. We see that one of the patterns that is actually really quite clear in Scripture, there were lots of local churches, but they had an alignment with a global apostle. And that's the whole thing again around the Titus 1:5. Local leaders, set in order, appoint elders in every city, set in order things that are lacking. But where did that come from? That came from a global apostle. That came from an apostle to whom it was entrusted nations, a metron, et cetera, et cetera. So there's a real global thing, and that's one of the attributes of the apostles, that they develop those trans-local networks where the church is a unified church. And why I'm really kind of, I guess, taking the time to speak into that, I personally believe that's one of the things that the Holy Spirit is powerfully recovering, which is the whole concept of apostolic centers, apostolic hubs. Now, again, we see that in Scripture. We see, you know, Antioch, we see Jerusalem, we see Ephesus, where these places were actually apostolic centers. They were apostolic hubs, and the local churches related to those apostolic centers and apostolic hubs. And in such a beautiful way, the Holy Spirit brought such worldwide unity of the Church of Jesus, and therefore worldwide effectiveness of the church, a worldwide purpose that was included the local church, but greater than any one local church. And if we are talking about revival across all nations that will usher the second coming of Jesus Christ, that pattern must be restored. The pattern of global apostolic centers, global apostles, local churches, and the Holy Spirit's all over it. It's happening so organically. It's happening so naturally. It's happening even without the church knowing. But if we step back and observe the fingerprints of the Holy Spirit and his workings, it is being restored. It is a beautiful restoration of the Holy Spirit in our current age. So when it comes to, I'm just going back to the question, the greater sense of cohesiveness regarding kingdom purpose, I think that the Lord has those two dimensions in mind. There's a local and there's a global function for apostles when it comes to the oneness of the Church of Jesus and its effectiveness.
Wow, so good. Wow, very good. Yeah, guys, I just want to mention that the video from today's session and also the transcript will be available to you as a member of the Pneuma Global Network in our online portal as well. The fourth question that we want to talk about is mentoring and raising up the next generation. And Pastor Raph, you already mentioned the roles of apostles related to being an architect and also a spiritual father. And I think about the scripture where, you know, it says in Revelation, the church in Ephesus, you've tested those who claim to be apostles and found them false. And, you know, Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians 12:12, the signs of an apostle. So what are the attributes of an apostle? And some say the apostolicity. And that basically is to include spiritual fathers, raising up, mentoring. And so if you use the title, but the attributes are not there. And specifically, I believe this emphasis here on mentoring and raising up is so important, and God is really highlighting this in the season. Holy Spirit is doing that. So, Pastor Raph, what is your understanding, you know, your experience in terms of apostolic leaders effectively effectively, that's an important word, mentoring and raising up the next generation of leaders within the local church.
Yeah. I find Pastor Glenn, again, just because of the nature of the apostolic, always pursuing new frontiers in the Lord. Those frontiers sometimes are geographical. So sometimes the Lord will put on the heart of the apostle a heavenly vision to, you know, in different regions, different spaces, different cities of invasion. Sometimes they are highly spiritual to bring kingdom order. It's a frontier that is spiritual, healing, deliverance, to bring kingdom order. But those frontiers also include generational. I believe that every apostolic grace is very passionate about every generation that exists and future generations to come. It's, again, really inherent in the apostolic grace. So there are churches, and I know that there's distinct callings, and praise God for those churches, but they focus on a single generation. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But generally speaking, the apostolic ministry, every generation is important. The old are important. The very young are important. Every generation in between, important generations to come, are important and a part of the thinking. Now, when it comes to raising generations, because I think maybe that's the focus of this question, I'm probably not in a, you know, not recommending what, you know, this method or that method. We see that methods vary. We see Jesus in Mark 3:14, that they were with him and that he sent them out to preach. We see Paul doing the same with Timothy. We see in the Old Testament that there was a school of prophets. The methods can vary. The most important thing is intentionality around raising the generations. It's the purpose, it's the intentionality, it's the thinking around that your kingdom come, your will be done, is not the work of one generation. It is the work of every generation together, and it must compound. The next generation must be so greater than this generation. They must catch the fire and multiply that fire 100-fold. And okay, what is the intentionality of our ministry, our church in that space, to make sure that they're engaged, but they're not only engaged, they will multiply the work of the Lord. They will take the work of the Lord further and the purpose of the Lord. They will become godlier than we are, have greater revelation than what we have, greater insight, greater partnership, greater commission. So our work then becomes to discover the heart of God, to discover, develop, and deploy. The most important thing is to create those opportunities for them, where the fathers and the sons, the mothers and the daughters, are literally walking hand in hand for the work of the Holy Spirit to continue, one wave of the Holy Spirit after the other, becoming greater and greater. That must be. I remember Pastor Bill Johnson once talking about the migration of this particular butterfly from I think somewhere in America to Mexico, and that it actually takes four generations for that butterfly that sets out to get from one country to the next. The one that sets out knows that it's not going to get there. But literally, it's a four-generational thing of butterflies in order to get it from one destination to the other. The coming of the kingdom when it comes to apostleship must be with that heart and that thinking. We're going to take it as far as we can, but we know we're not going to do it alone. This is a generational work for Messiah Jesus to be glorified in his kingdom to come.
Yeah, so good. Amazing. All right, let's talk about the apostolic ministry and the apostle working alongside the other fourfold ministry graces. So the other four, the prophet, evangelist, shepherd, and teacher.
Sure.
In a balanced way. How does that work?
Sure. Well, first of all, I think every person who is apostolically endowed and officed by the Holy Spirit, there must be a really, really clear recognition that the ministry of Jesus is a fivefold ministry. Not just an apostolic ministry. Just in partnership and discussion with a lot of beautiful churches around, they set out and the church becomes just purely apostolic prophetic. Now, that's beautiful, but for me personally, that's incomplete. Because Jesus hasn't called us to a twofold ministry. He's called us for a fivefold ministry, for the equipping of the saints, for growth and maturity. And the ministry of Jesus Christ, so Jesus, we know, is called to be prophet. Book of Deuteronomy, chapter 18, verse 15, Moses prophesied that the Lord will send you a prophet like me, him you will heed. Jesus is a prophet. You know, Jesus is an evangelist, Luke 19:10, Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Jesus is a shepherd, I am the good shepherd, in John 10:11. Jesus is the teacher, John 13:13. You say that I am teacher and Lord, and you say rightly, for I am your teacher and Lord. He is teacher. So the fullness of Jesus to be manifest, and for the power of the Holy Spirit, the entirety of fivefold, all of the facets of Jesus Christ must be expressed in the church. The fivefold needs to be an operation, not just the apostolic. The apostolic must play its part, but actually a primary purpose of the apostolic is to make sure that there's fivefold surrounding that. So there must be, and that would be the only other thing that I would couple with that, there must be intentionality and review. That doesn't just happen by default, it happens by design. Well, okay, we can, at a really practical level, look at our, for example, our platforms. On Sundays, what's actually coming across, what's been, is it always just purely apostolic? Is it always purely missional? Or is there an expression? Is there a balanced expression right across the board of the fivefold graces? What's happening in our connect groups, our small groups? Is it leaning more toward one or two graces, or is it the fivefold graces being expressed? It is important to review. I know that for us here at Pneuma, we literally, the fivefold, we catch up every week, but we do have a quarterly 2 or 3 days of planning and review. And always part of that review, we speak into, okay, where's it at? Where actually does the emphasis need to be? Where is it a little bit too much? What's absent? What needs to be complemented? Because we're just mindful the church is not really going to represent Jesus nor equip the saints fully unless it's representative of the fivefold.
Excellent. Thank you, Pastor Rob. So good. And yeah, the big takeaway there, we aren't called to have just apostolic churches. As much as we're talking about apostolic today, the goal is not to have just an apostolic grace or leadership inherent in the church, or, you know, we obviously need the fivefold, which brings that balance. So good. Pastor Raff, regarding the role of an apostle, the apostolic leadership, contributing to the overall growth and expansion of the church in regions and nations, obviously that's something that we need to be intentional about. You've already touched on that. So what are some specific ways that apostolic ministry can contribute to that and, you know, help ensure that takes place?
Fantastic. So reaching, when we talk about the Great Commission and reaching the nations with the kingdom of God, I really just want to put to us very quickly 4 recommendations. One of them is build a fivefold team. And the reason that's critical is because of some of the things that we touched on. The saints will not be equipped unless there is a fivefold team in their fullness. The kingdom will not advance in power unless there is a fivefold team. It is the biblical pattern. Now, one of the things that I found really interesting in studying church history was how powerful the church was for the first 3 centuries. Because of the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, every saint, every born-again child of God walked in the presence and the power of God. If we go into the writings, we find that there's lots of writings where the everyday person walked in miracles and signs and wonders and gifts of the Holy Spirit, walked in sanctity, et cetera, et cetera. That's because of the work, the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. We find that there was a bit of a shift in the church around about 312 AD with Constantine and all that happened in that space, but because it's not a history lesson, we won't go there. But basically what started to happen was the beginning of this division of laity and clergy, the beginning of this division of even kind of like going into, you know, buildings and so forth. So there were those who became professional Christians and those who became attendees. And we lost the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, and therefore we lost the advancement of the kingdom or diluted it. One of the reasons that the Holy Spirit is restoring the fivefold pattern to the current church is because the revival of the kingdom of God and the knowledge of Jesus Christ that is to come to on earth can only come as the saints are equipped to walk in presence and power. So definitely I would strongly recommend the rebuilding of the fivefold in this space. Recommend that we pray and think, especially if we are church leaders, around planting self-multiplying churches in unreached areas. I've just recently read the book of Acts over and realized for the very first time that literally from chapters 13 to 21, it's all about church planting. I'm like, okay, Lord, there's something in that. Different regions, different cities, Asia Minor, Macedonia, Greece, etc., all being reached with the gospels through leaders being raised and churches being planted. The third thing that I'd recommend, that I'm just going to have to hasten it because of time, multiplying leaders is critical, especially when it comes to the intentionality of raising apostolic leaders. I know here we have a church planters pathway. We go on a kind of like a two-year journey that it starts off with an intensive, but literally every fortnight for 2 years, we're intentionally raising an apostolic community in that space. So we are looking to multiply the grace and the leadership in that space. Probably last but not least is the whole concept of partnering. Now, that's connecting with other apostolic ministries and other apostles. That's very important for the work of the gospel to be effective and to move forward in our cities, in our regions, and across our world. The entire thing is meant to happen on partnership. Churches now, I know we're definitely looking at combined mission trips, and we're having combined prayer meetings all over the world over particular cities and reaches, but partnership with other apostolic ministries is really, really critical to fulfilling the Great Commission and advancing the kingdom across nations. I might just keep it there, Pastor Glenn.
Yeah, wow. Well, that's good, and definitely have opportunities in the future to drill down even deeper in terms of executing on that. So very good. So we have obviously churches in different places in the world who they've not really embraced the Great Commission or advancing the kingdom of God. And, you know, their focus is more inward and maybe on seeing people's discipled well and healed and made whole. And that's certainly important. But as you said, that's just one aspect of the fivefold. And how do apostolic leaders, in some practical ways, if you could share, Pastor Rapp, help take the church on the journey toward engaging in the Great Commission and advancing the kingdom of God to the nations?
Yeah, I mean, Pastor Glenn, we can touch on a lot of the things that we have already touched on. How much time do I have for this? Because I just want to...
Yeah, sure, 5 minutes.
Just honor your time.
Five minutes? Yeah.
Okay. So I might just want to read from the book of Acts an example on this one rather than... So I'm just going to read from the book of Acts chapter 16 and verses 1 to 5. It talks about how Paul came to Derbe and Lystra, and certain disciples were there. Timothy was there, a son of a Jewish woman who had believed. His father was Greek, and he was spoken well of by the brethren. Paul wanted him to go on with him, took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in that region. In verse 4, it talks about how they went through the cities and delivered to them the decrees to keep, which were determined by the apostles and the elders in Jerusalem. And the churches were strengthened in the faith and increased in number daily. And the apostolic contribution just in that space of how the church expands and grows even across nations is just a great illustration for me. For I see at least five things in that that I'll go through really quickly. I see in verse one, obviously, Paul took Timothy, which we could see, which is evidence that the apostolic ministry really does look at the intentional development of leaders that we already touched on the job training. So they take them along. There's a shadowing. I know that Pastor Glenn, actually, you're doing that right now. You've got some church leaders that will be sent out, but they're shadowing you. There's on the job training happening. That is part and parcel of the apostolic ministry, to literally blow the wind of the Holy Spirit on the seeds that are in people that are going to be sent out. The second thing that I see there is how theology was clarified. We see that in verse 4, because the church must be internally healthy, not just externally aggressive. If the church is going to take ground in the world, it has to come from a place of health. So theology was clarified there in verse 4. In verse 5, we see that the churches were strengthened in faith. That is part and parcel of the apostolic ministry. As a matter of fact, I think the apostolic grace often is leading, not just because of the vision that the Lord has given, but because of the gift of faith. Sometimes when the team's tired and so forth, apostles are the first to get the kind of like second wind and have enough faith to impart and infuse and reinvigorate the entire team, and the team rises up under the wings of faith. The fourth thing that's there is that the disciples increased in number. And the last thing is probably in verse 10, where they talk about he had seen a vision and they went to Macedonia, meaning that the gospel is preached in new cities. But I find that that's a beautiful demonstration of five things that really kind of like the apostolic grace does in its contribution to the overall growth of the expansion of the church in different nations and cities.
So, yeah, very good. Thank you. Wow, absolutely amazing, Pastor Ralph, in terms of what you shared. And I just really love the fact that we can do this together as leaders, and we can learn from one another, you know, and the school of hard knocks is overrated. Honestly, it's so important that we just lean into the knowledge that we have in this community here. So we can grow together. And one of the things, of course, we want to, in terms of moving forward with next sessions that we have planned, one of the things that we want to start to do is begin to actually be very practical and strategic and in terms of mapping out some ways that we can bring change to our structure, our paradigms. So, for example, specifically, what does it look like for us to really build apostolically? And again, as Pastor Raph mentioned, when we talk about the apostolic leadership, foundationally, you know, the church is built on the foundation of apostles and prophets, etc. And God has said in the church, first of all, apostles. And the apostle is about seeing the fivefold, activated, calling that out in others, and then ultimately for the purpose of seeing the whole body of Christ equipped. So when we talk about apostolic leadership, we're not saying that we just identify apostles. We mean the restoration and really the re-implementation of the fivefold as it was in the early church in its more mature expression. So we want to go on that journey together in some sessions in the future, and really, really important, I think, that we do that. And these will be sessions that are very interactive, where we get to, give feedback ourselves rather than just the interview here that we're doing. So, and we'll continue to do the interviews. Actually, our next session that we're looking at tentatively, and we're going to send an email out just to make sure that we have enough interest, would be on Friday, the 16th of February. And then after that session on March the 1st, we have Pastor Corey Turner joining us. That's going to be amazing. And but we want to make sure that, because obviously as we get into March with Easter and that, we may not be able to, It gets to be a busy time. So these two sessions is what we're planning on. But we'll send an email out just to confirm. And if you're a member of the NUMA Global Network, you sign up at ngn.numa.church, and there's a monthly subscription fee in Australian dollars. If you're in the US, it's actually almost half. It's sad, but good for those of you who are in the US. We've also got a heap of resources available for you guys right now that is already has been uploaded to the NUMA Global Network portal. Again, ngn.numa.church. When you become a member, then you get access to that. We've got in there right now all of the videos from our Fivefold Summit with the transcripts. We also have two video teachings by Pastor Corey on building teams, very practical training from the NUMA Leadership Development Pathway. Very, very practical. We also have a video that we've uploaded there of an interview I did with Elaine Caron on apostolic centers, which ties into what Pastor Raph was saying. And if you're not familiar with Elaine Caron, he's a French Canadian who wrote a book called Shifting the Church, Transforming the World, Apostolic Centers. And he shares the journey that he went on with his church that he was leading to really move and embrace the fivefold and operate from that, sense of apostolic mission and purpose, advancing God's kingdom. So that book is called Apostolic Centers, Shifting the Church, Transforming the World, Alain Caron. He wrote a second book called Apostolic Expansion, The Kingdom War for Territorial Gains. Both of those books you can grab on Amazon and elsewhere. Amazing books. The interview I did with Elaine, we talk on this, and that's available on the NUMA Global Network portal or website.